Welcome to the Transformative Dance Podcast, a show where you will hear inspiring stories from leading dancers, dance educators, choreographers, studio owners, and more. Hear about their career challenges and highlights and how the power of dance has manifested as resilience and transformation in their lives. My name is Melanie Gard, dance studio owner, dance educator, and fellow entrepreneur, and I'll be your host as we uncover together the transformative power of dance. Welcome to the Transformative Dance Podcast. Today, I have with me Natalie Yates, and she is the director of NY Dance in Ipswich, all the way up in Queensland, very far away from where I am today. NY Dance is a values-based studio with over 500 students from toddlers to adults. Her focus is on community and creating a welcoming, inclusive environment, and this has led to the studio's significant organic growth. NY Dance is known as a safe place to learn, make mistakes, and grow, fostering a family-like atmosphere. Beyond teaching, Natalie also runs the Dancers Warehouse, a successful dancewear store, has launched Little Stars Dance, a preschool dance brand, and runs Made for Dancers, a wholesale line for studio merchandise. As a seasoned professional in the industry, Natalie continues to teach while embracing these creative projects that support both her studio and the broader dance community. Welcome to the podcast, Natalie. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here with you today, Mel.
Yes. All the way from Ipswich in Queensland. Tell us where that actually is. It's a little bit inland, isn't it?
It's about 45 minutes west of Brisbane. So it's a quick drive into the city. We've got the Gold Coast to the south, Sunny Coast on the top, and Toowoomba's just up the road a little bit. So we're actually really well located for all the good stuff in southeast Queensland.
Yeah, I love that. I love the way Aussies go just up the road a bit. It's actually not up the road. It's miles away. I'm a Kiwi born and bred, so moving to Australia, the distances are quite shocking. But, yeah, we love our wide brown land, don't we?
We sure do.
Yeah. So, Natalie, your studio is incredible. I believe over 500 students. That's quite a significant size. So tell me about why did you start a dance studio? I understand this is your second iteration of running a dance studio. So tell me how you kind of stepped into that space. What led you to running a dance studio?
Well, actually, it was by accident. I was working retail when I finished high school, and a dance teacher that I knew on the Gold Coast was looking for a teacher and just reached out to me, and I thought, oh, why not? May as well give that a go. And then I had another teacher in Brisbane who was looking for a teacher, so I ended up working 5 or 6 days a week within the two schools. And I was speaking to the Brisbane teacher one day and, you know, talking about all the driving backwards and forwards, and I was recently engaged. And she said, oh, why don't you just start a dance school of your own? And I thought, oh, that's a great idea. Oh, I might just do that. So that's what I did. I started my first little school and ran that one for 14 years. And by then I had my three beautiful sons. My older two boys were in high school, and I just felt like I was missing being at home with the kids. And I decided after all that time to close my school. It was a nice little country school just out on the outskirts of Ipswich. And I was a stay-at-home mum for 2 years before I started kind of getting that call to go back and teach. And I really missed the kids. I missed the creativity that came with running a studio. And I broke the news to my husband. I said, oh, I think I'm going to start a new school. He said to me, well, you know, you're not going to do those, you know, Steadfords again. And I said, oh, I don't think I want to do that at all. I just want to teach kids again, and we'll just have a concert. And he sort of said to me, well, just keep it small. I said, oh, yeah, sure. I'm not, you know, got no big plans. I just really wanted to get back into teaching. And that was 2009. And because I had set this niche, I guess, of no Steadfords and no exams, all of a sudden we went from 42 students, I think, that first year, and we hit 300 or so within about three and a half years, which was totally a surprise to me, but yeah, people just wanted to their kids to be able to dance, and yeah, it just took us a little while to figure out what our thing was, and that it was okay not to do exams and okay not to do a Stedfords in a town where that really is how dance always worked. I just kind of fell into creating my own sort of school the way I wanted to do it, and then I really leaned into that. And because the school got so big, then we had to find our own premises, and things have just kind of grown. I just always said, oh, okay, we'll give that a go. And every time somebody said, oh, can we do something else, you know, add ballet or add, you know, aerial or acro, I've always just kind of rolled with it and give things a go. Not everything works, but yeah, we just hit a mark with families in our area, and most of our enrolments are through word of mouth, and yeah, things have, we've just tipped over 500 students this year, which is totally amazing, not what I ever imagined doing, and then, you know, just loving it, and it's just become, you know, I've always just said yes to opportunities and given things a go with my whole heart, and yeah, we're doing some really amazing things.
Yeah, incredible. So it sounds like you really did shift the focus of the studio from that first iteration that you, the first school that you had. Was that obviously in response to having children, family? Yeah, I often look at teachers that do Stedfords and comps and think, I don't know how you fit that in. Like, it's such a big commitment, isn't it? Personally. Yeah. So I love that you then started out with that second intention of making it work for you and kind of really leaned into that. Was it hard? Was it hard to let go of that part of the world? Like, because I assume, did you grow up doing a Stedfords? That's kind
yes,
of.
Yes, I did. I actually felt like a bit of a phony, which sounds ridiculous, but I would think, oh, what will, you know, some people around the area think that, you know, I'm not doing exams, for instance, or not doing a Stedfords, because at that time that's all I knew. I didn't know really of recreational schools. You know, you know what you know. And I did. It took me a while to go, actually, I'm still teaching great dance. We're still doing all of those wonderful things. And to go, actually, I'm doing a really good job of what I'm doing. I'm loving the way I'm doing it. And there was no way of ever stepping back into that arena of that competition. Yeah. I mean, my parents wouldn't want it, but I actually didn't want it. And we got so busy that I actually don't know how we would fit it in.
Yeah, I'm the same. My school doesn't do comps or anything, and that's what I mean. Like, I'm just like, I don't know how you fit that all in amongst everything else. So, yeah, that is a big thing to lean into, isn't it, that change and that shift. I know I've had that feeling as a studio owner, sometimes worrying about what people around me might think. But I think the message from your families and your community is that we really want this. We really want this approach, and there's definitely a place for a Stedfords and comps, and there's a place for studios that don't offer that. And I think it's testament to that, that you really listened to what people were saying and wanting from you. And I guess the growth is a real indicator of that, isn't it?
For sure. And, you know, it's that thing of like attracts like, I think, because I got really clear about what I did want to do, you know, and that took me probably a few years to actually go, okay, this is what I'm doing, and kind of, I guess, advertising that, not advertising, but let it be known, this is what NY Dance is about. And then people just started coming, and they're still coming. You know, it's just, it's amazing.
You're going to have to buy another space to.
we already did that. We already moved in the shed next door. We've got four studio spaces now, and I don't think I would want to get any bigger.
Yeah. So that's an interesting question, isn't it, too? Like, my studio was a lot bigger before COVID, and I put it back and I closed a branch that we had. And I just, after COVID, I was like, oh, I just don't want to go back to that. Like, I think there is a point where you go, you know, this is enough. And if you...
Because it is a lot. It's a lot. And yeah. Because what happened for me was all of it just kind of grew so quickly. And all of a sudden, you know, I had staff. And then you get to a point where you realize that you're responsible for the wages of your team and to pay your rent to your landlords and all of those different things. So then you just, your life every day is about the hustle of just keeping that thing going and knowing I don't actually want to grow the physical premises any bigger because this is actually enough for one person and a small management team to manage.
Yeah, it's huge, isn't it? Like, and like when you think of how we run our businesses compared to the local, because we're the size of the local primary school, right? And you look yes. at all the staff, the administration support, you know, the layers of leadership, and you think, you know, we do all right in our dance studio environment. I think we actually do pretty well to run it how we do without those extensive resources. And yeah, it's a big responsibility, isn't it? Like I often think I have deep empathy for every business owner that, you know, employs staff because the buck stops with you. You've got to make sure that there's enough money in that bank account to pay those wages, to pay the bills. Yeah.
And sometimes just keeping yourself on track and your enthusiasm is, you know, you've got to keep things fresh for you so that you can keep, you know, rolling out new things. You know, the kids always want different experiences and, you know, there's always something new to do. So that sort of keeps me excited and, you know, I try and get up and be excited every day about what's happening. But, you know, some days it's like, okay, this time of year you're on the concert, you know, hamster wheel, you just got to keep pedaling and, yeah, just keep going.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a thing, isn't it? So, Natalie, obviously you're a unique studio in your area, what you've crafted and created and people have flocked to you because of that. That is a big thing to do, I think, to set yourself apart because as we've spoken about, we often, it's a really hard thing to do when we've grown up a certain way or been sort of in a certain type of environment. Why do you think people want your studio? Like, what is it about? So we've talked a bit about the community and that sort of stuff, but like, what is it that people are really wanting from you and the values that you offer?
There's probably a couple of things. For a lot of our parents, it's age-appropriate values that we stand very strongly for. That's one thing. Sometimes the parents don't realize they want that until we show it to them or they see examples of what that isn't out in the community and they realize that. But mostly it's that. It's that our senior cohort. So we have, I think, 64 teenage dancers with us, and which always I feel really super proud of that because the kids tell us that they feel really safe here. They feel safe to make mistakes. They don't feel embarrassed. They have good friends at dance who they, like, they just tell us it's a safe place. And so people want that. They want their kids treated nicely and kindly but firmly. And we do have like an old school kind of discipline among our students. They're very well mannered at class, in and around the studio. You know, they've got the opportunity to be of service. Just all those, you know, I just think it's really old-fashioned family values. And to be honest, it's what I always wanted for my own children when they were at soccer training or football training or at school. It's the way I wanted my kids, my own children, to be treated by their teachers and coaches. You know, I just wanted everyone to have a go. My boys were not, you know, star athletes or star students, although they were good kids. They were solid kids that turned up to training every week, very dependable. And I just, you know, there's always a place for stars, you know. Those kids are always going to go far. But those just normal children that are never going to be you know, honours plus in the exam. They're never going to be a first place winner, but they're always treated equally. And it's just that, you know, my dance parents want that. They don't necessarily want their child to be the best dancer in the class, because they're just happy that they're happy coming to dance.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when my kids were little and, you know, because they did swimming, football, well, they still play football, AFL, because that's a better guess to know that.
Whatever. One of my boys played AFL for a little while.
Yeah. And even scouts, what else did we do? Gymnastics, like they all did. Because I've got three kids as well. You know, just little things in and out. I had one that was just flat out, well, she's still dancing. She loves it, which is lovely. But going in and out of all those spaces, I kept thinking the only place that came close, I think, to what we do at the dance studio, because I feel like my studio is pretty similar to yours in terms of values and that sort of, you know, fostering that those acts of service and whatnot. The only place that really came close was Scouts, where we sort of had this experience of those Scout leaders that were really invested in the kids and wanted to help out. And when we enrolled, they were like trying to find, you know, extra uniforms for us and just going above and beyond anything that I'd experienced anywhere else. And I was like, oh, this comes a bit close. But again, when you're dealing with clubs and, you know, you've got volunteer coaches and all these different people coming in and out, which is fine, you don't get that consistency through the community. And I think that is what a dance studio really provides, is this, you know, you have these cohorts of kids that come through together. They're looking up at the big kids and aspiring to be them, and then they become the big kids. And that there's this real sense of, like, you know, that you can see the self-esteem building and them realizing that they're stepping into that leadership space. And I just could never find that in anything else we did. And I think that's just the most beautiful, magnificent thing about a dance studio. It's just like nothing else I've ever seen. So, yeah, go us.
I totally agree. Totally agree.
Our industry, because I think that is something that we just deliver above and beyond on in most settings. So I just want to pick up on what you were talking about in terms of acts of service, because that is a really traditional, you know, some would say that's sort of a Christian value. Not that I'm not religious at all, but it's just that sort of really traditional,
awesome
idea of being of service to others, which I really love and resonate with. So tell me, how does that look at your studio? What do you mean by that?
Well, we are a Dance Step partner studio, which has given our students the opportunity to get inside the classroom, you know, on the other side of being a student and helping teachers, helping their fellow students. Our students get involved at our junior concerts, our Little Dance Stars concerts. You'll see them around the studio, you know, between classes, helping children change their shoes or, you know, just, you know, like on a rainy day. We had a big storm come through yesterday, you know, the older girls are running the little ones out to their mum's cars and stuff like that. Just, it's just kind of this snowball thing. It just goes, I guess it goes round and round and round. They start off as babies, they see the older ones helping out, and then they turn into those students, mentors and leaders in the studio. And there's lots of opportunities for them to do things like we have our mid-year musical. So when the kids are rehearsing for musical, the older students are kind of taking care of the younger ones, helping them with their learning their lines and things like that. It's just, I don't know, it's just a big family, and we encourage the kids to help others, because, you know, I think it's a really important human trait, and it's something that we all need. Like, when you help people, you feel really good yourself up from the charitable act that you're doing. It's actually good for us as human beings to be of service and to be needed. And especially like in our town, we're a RAF town, so we have a lot of families coming in, there's army as well, coming in from interstate who might not have grandparents. So sometimes the young mums and dads are looking for someone to chat to. So our, you know, front service desk team or our admin staff are always out chatting to people and connecting people. You might know this person, they're in your area and just things like that, you know, it's just a whole thing going round and round, really.
Yeah. And that idea of helping others, I think, especially for our teenagers, that is such a self-esteem building exercise, isn't it? That when you feel like they've got somewhere to be, someone's relying on them to be part of something and be of service, I think that's the greatest gift you can give a teenager. Whether that's obviously for our context, that's a dance studio environment. But I know with my kids, like as they've gone through their teenage years, when they've got those environments to be in, it keeps them busy, it gets them out of bed, gets them off their devices, which we all know is such a challenge. I think it's just a massive service that we can offer to the community when we're giving those teens something to do.
I feel like everyone wants to be needed and there's this whole disconnection happening. I think with you bring up devices, you know, kids don't know how to have conversations with each other, or, you know, it's hard to get them engaged in conversation. You know, I try and do that out in the waiting room with some of the children, and it's like, put your phone down and let's chat about something, and, you know, give you a bit of a weird look, but then you end up having this wonderful conversation, you know, what did you do at school today and so forth. And, you know, I just love that connection element.
Yeah, it's so important, isn't it? Because, I do feel like they're losing those skills. And, I look at them and I think, because even my teens, you know, if they have breaks in between classes, the first thing they do is check their phones, which, I mean, no shade, I do the same thing, right? We're all addicted. I think getting them out of those spaces where they are completely disconnected from any kind of online stuff is just so healthy for their minds and their social skills as well. So also I just want to pick up on something that you said earlier as well. You talked about the outlet for creativity, and I think this is often something that we don't talk a lot about, but I know for me, my studio, the business side of things, like once I kind of really got into the groove of like, I'm not just a teacher, like I'm a business owner, I'm an entrepreneur, I can actually build things out in my business and do other projects and develop other programs and network with other people in the community. Like I got that really excited me when I started to realize how much I could do with that. And I can see that in you too when you chat now, like you're like that lights you up, that creativity element. And clearly with all the different arms of your business, you have that creativity is very much a part of who you are. So how did you start to build those other programs? So you've got the dancewear, you've got the Little Stars, Dance Stars, sorry, did I say that wrong?
Dance Stars, that's all right. Well, the dancewear store was the first opportunity. Well, it's actually always been about opportunity. I can just see something that's going wanting and I just think, oh, I could probably do that. We started off when we moved into our own premises. We always had our own uniforms and I used to import some shoes from China, and we just had a little tiny uniform store that my mum just used to look after for me. And all of a sudden the shoes I was importing just become not very good, and I thought, I can't sell these to my own people. So I reached out to one of the major brands who said, yeah, we'd love a stockist. There's no stockist in your area, but you can't have it inside your studio. You need a standalone store. So even if it's kind of in the same area that you're in, but it just has to have its own street address and so forth. So that was easy. It's kind of, we're in a big warehouse complex, so I had easy access to another shed. So we set up a danceware store and I just gave it a go. And it's been, I think, 9 years, the Dancers Warehouse. It's a full store. We stock probably 10 or 12 well-known brands. We are the big dancewear store in town. The next closest one is probably, I don't know, 50 minutes away. So, and we serve everyone. You know, it's really taken off in the last probably 2 years. It's really kind of gone gangbusters, which is amazing. So there was that. The Little Dance Stars program that I launched 12 or so months ago, maybe 15 months ago. That was actually, that came about because after COVID, you know, I lost lots of little ones, and I decided I needed to, you know, buy into a preschool program because I wanted something that I could market really well. And I looked at all of the brands. I looked at, you know, the big one at the time, but unfortunately I was locked out, I'm guessing, in my area. And I was like, well, I'll go and find something else. Talk to my teachers and they were like, oh, we don't want to teach somebody else's work. We like what we're doing. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I'll just make my own brand. So then I spent 6 to 9 months just creating the Little Dance Stars brand, uniforms, like everything. We have a lot of print products, so much stuff because, you know, I take things to the nth degree. I get a bit carried away. That's my creativity, I guess. So I created this whole thing, and there's a lot in it. And then I just thought one day, I wonder if there's other teachers out there like me that teach great classes. They don't want to, you know, they don't need class plans or choreography or, you know, music suggestions, but they hate doing graphics. They can't stand sitting on Canva for one more day making, you know, a social media post that takes 3 hours. Well, you know, so I was like, oh, I could actually package this all up and other people could use it. So I gave that a go, and we've got a few teachers that are on board with that. So that's exciting. It's early days and I'm still tweaking things, but it's super fun. And then more recently, the Made for Dancers stuff just came about because I wanted to be able to, you know, make more profits. And because I've already got, you know, a couple of fairly well-known businesses, I had a little bit of savings that I could pour into it and just give it a go. And, yeah, we're just studio basics, just things that teachers can sell every day out in their foyer. And we've just recently kind of just soft launched that. But it's just, it's always like, oh, I wonder if someone else could use this. You know, it's helped me, and there's lots of, you know, smaller scale schools or big schools that always, you know, and you need that extra stream of income. You don't, we're all here to make some good profits, but it doesn't always just happen from dance lessons and selling costumes. Sometimes you've got to add some extra things in. So I guess it's
always like, I don't know about you, but like I learned the hard way early on that I was often sending my customers out to other businesses to spend money. And then I was like, hang on a second, like I've created this. I've created this amazing customer base, and then all these other people are getting money, you know.
Exactly.
And I was like,
I always say you've got a captive audience. They're going to spend their money somewhere, so they may as well.
Absolutely. You know,
yeah. If you've got the time, and you always need a little bit of capital behind that, but if not, yeah, it's just sorry to sit there.
Nat, clever lady. I love it. I love that everything you look at, you look from an entrepreneurial perspective, and I think that's where successful people go, is that, like, you're not afraid to kind of dip your toe in areas that maybe aren't, you know, that familiar, but you're like, right, let's give it a go. And
well,
love that.
There's no harm in trying, and if it doesn't work, we just throw that. You know, I've made some probably silly business decisions. I probably bought some things that, you know, I sit in my warehouse now that might just go in the bin. you know, oh, that didn't work, let's try something. But it's just all fun, and every day you get up, you know, I go into my office at going to work and the girls are like, I'm like, what are you doing today? They're like, I'm like, I had this great idea. Oh, no. And they're like, oh, what has she come up with? And next minute it's a right-hand turn and breath all gets thrown to the side and now Natalie's new idea. So it's just fun.
Yeah. That's
plus I've done the hard slog. You know, this is, I'm in my mid-50s now and I don't have, yeah, yay for me. I don't have, you know, my children. I'm not, you know, 100,000,000% committed just to that. I got spare time. I don't really have spare time, but, you know, I'm in a different stage in my life where I can put extra effort into other things. And I do have a big team, so we all work together and I'm not doing it all on my own, but yeah. It's just, like I said, it's just opportunity and I don't know, my mind.
That's a really nice message to hear for maybe studio owners or teachers that have in that busy, crazy space of young children and, like, you've got time. Like, I remember thinking I had to do it all then, and when I look back, I was like, I was in such a rush to try and achieve all these things and have this amazing business and do all the extra things, but in fact I was also just working 24/7, managing my family. I mean, I've got a great husband and we did that together, but it's a really big time when they're little people and you're trying to get them to all their different activities and make sure everyone's fed. And I'm just stepping into that space now where my older two are young adults. We've still got a teenager at home, although all still at home, sorry, but the older two are sort of very independent. So it is, I can see that sort of like the cloud lifts and you're like, oh, I can actually do.
If I could say one thing to younger studio owners who are, you know, mums and dads, I saw this thing a couple of years ago that you only get 18 summers with your children. That actually makes me emotional. It goes, honestly, so fast.
Yeah.
18 years sounds like a long time, but you say 18 summers and...
Oh, you're making me cry now.
Sorry. So you don't waste 1 second of missing something for your children, for the studio.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Don't we all learn that the hard way? I 100% agree with you. And those 18 summers just like gone. Yep.
But I'm so lucky I'm on the next round. I've got my beautiful grandchildren.
Oh, my
God. We're doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
You do get to do it again. But honestly, my mid-40s to where I am now, the last 10 years have probably been the most amazing years of my life.
That's so
great. Yeah.
Yeah, really great to hear, because I mean, it's a tricky time of life, isn't it, when you're sort of transitioning out of being a parent, not that you ever stop being a parent, but out of that really busy, hustling part of parenting where, like, your feet don't. I remember my mum saying to me, she's like, your feet won't touch the ground for the next 15 years of your life. And she said, before you know it, you'll look back and think, what just happened? And I'm like, yep, she's right. Like, where did that time go? We've been so busy. So it is important to just pace yourself and know that on the other side of it, and this is, I think, another important message that you're sending, Nat, is that for women heading into their 40s and 50s, is that you can still start something. You can do something new. You can create a new business. Like, there's nothing stopping you from doing that. And especially now, like, there's so many opportunities out there, and we don't have to be held back by our age or what role we think the world thinks that we should play. I think that's a really good message, good takeaway from what you're especially demonstrating. You're living in practice. Sorry.
No, you're good.
I thought it's cutting in and out. So where to from here? Like, what do you see for yourself going forward with your business? Like, where would you like to see that all land in, say, 5-10 years' time?
Well, in 10 years' time, 5 years is not that far away, but in 10 years' time, I would like all of my, whatever my business looks like, just to be humming along. Like, I don't necessarily want to grow and keep growing and growing and growing and, you know, into some sort of crazy empire. I'm just like, things are really good now. We're always refining, you know. It's like at the end of year concert, you always think, oh, geez, that went wrong. Let's put something in place that that doesn't happen next year. Well, we've kind of nearly got all those, you know, wrinkles ironed out. And it would just be, if it could just hum along like it is now, obviously keep enrolling kids, you know, you always got some coming, some going. It's like the waves, you know, ebbing and flowing, but just stay where we are and just keep changing people's lives and enriching the lives of our dance families. And obviously I'd like my little side businesses to grow a little bit. My dream's always been to be debt-free and to support my own children, which is, you know, that's my incentive, to leave, you know, a beautiful business that my children and grandchildren could easily step into should they wish. But I'm just happy with the way my life is now. I'm surrounded by my beautiful family and the beautiful families of my dance studio, and life's pretty good.
That's amazing, Nat. And I love that you talk about our financial legacy as well. Like, I think it's a harder topic for people to talk about, but I think it's really, really important that we always remember that when it's all said and done, as much as we love our students and all of those things, you have to protect your own financial future and protect that for your family. And I think that's a really important focus that needs to be had, because there's often, I don't know, because we work with kids, like, it can feel hard. We, you know, we have deep empathy for families that maybe are struggling, all of those things. But without a healthy business, we can't do the work. We can't.
Absolutely. And we owe it to ourselves. We've been training for our business since we were five or six or seven. We've got, you know, and we're still training. We still all do. I still do business training. We are giving people a beautiful product that will carry their children through their life. Even if they don't become dancers, they will always remember the lessons of self-discipline and taking care of your things and your body and presenting yourself well, or being a good friend, or being a lifelong learner, all those things that have nothing to do with the physical thing that you see at dance. We are giving people really a legacy for the rest of their lives, and there's value in that. And if we don't value it in our product that we're selling, because we are selling dance classes, if we don't value ourselves enough, then our business won't succeed. Mm. And, you know, there's got to be something at the end of the day that you can go, well, I've just worked 42 days straight in October, but, gee, that's a nice little windfall at the end of the year, or I can look back on my year and I did make some profit on top of my wage. That's amazing, you know, and I can do something nice for my family. I can take a bit of pressure off my husband, or I can, you know, whatever it is that is important to you. But at the end of the day, your family is always going to be there. Yeah. And business, your customers are going to come and go because of whatever's important for their family. But it really is important to be able to make a good living from something that you're so passionate about.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is so, so important. So, Nat, I love everything you're about, your studio values, all of those things. What do you see for our industry? Because not everyone runs their business in the way that you do. Like, what would you love to see happen in our industry in the next 5 to 10 years?
Oh, the next 5 to 10 years. I would love to see, like, we produce the most beautiful dancers, technique, show-worthy, audition-worthy, all of that. End result technical dance is brilliant in Australia. I think at the ground level, I would like to see more teachers taking responsibility for how they present their students in a public space. I'm all for appropriate costuming, music, dance moves. I feel that some of us can do better. I would like to see more people thinking harder about what they're presenting in the public arena with very small children or teenage children in mind. Is it appropriate that I teach a routine to this song that has this meaning behind it? And I don't think it's good enough to say, oh, the kids just love that beat, or it's a really catchy vibe. It's, at the end of the day, is the song speaking about lewd acts? Is it speaking derogatory in terms of a woman or a man? Just having a little bit more conscience about how they are portraying dance for children.
Yeah.
Because we're, on the most part, working with children, and sometimes, and I've always felt like this, it's not just because I'm an older teacher, sometimes I don't think that we stop long enough to think about what we're doing. We're just caught up in the moment of this really cool song or, you know, this trendy outfit. But, you know, I always say to my teachers, would you be happy if that age group's dads and granddads were standing in front of them in your studio and doing that routine in front of them? Would you feel comfortable? Because I don't feel comfortable about that.
Yeah.
So let's change that music up, shall we?
Yeah, absolutely. I was at a conference on the weekend, and the beautiful Lucinda Dunn, former of the Australian Ballet, spoke, and we were able to ask some questions after she'd spoken. She's so sweet and humble and knowledgeable. Obviously her area of expertise is in ballet, but someone asked her about, you know, the early specialization or training of dancers and pushing sort of harder and younger and doing all these things, kind of reflective of what you're speaking about, like there's plenty of time to be sexy. You can do that when you're an adult and you can make those choices. And her key takeaway was that slow and steady wins the race. And I was like, yeah, that is such a good motto, isn't it, for our kids? Like whatever pursuit they're in, that slow and steady is where it's at. Because she was talking about a program that they ran at the Tanya Pearson Academy, where they took in these really young dancers, like 11, 12, 13, before the normal sort of full-time course started, because people were demanding it. So they thought, all right, we'll try it. And she said, of that cohort, she says, there are only two that dance now. And I thought, wow, that's, you know, whereas they were all there because they were going to be professional dancers.
Ballerinas, yeah.
You know, and I thought that's a really, it's a little bit off track from what you were talking about, but similar thing, that let kids just be kids. And she was talking about, let them go, as much as we don't want to say it, play netball or football, whatever it is, and let them have that well-rounded experience as a young person. And there's plenty of time to do all of those other things. And I think that's what I observe, is that there just seems to be so much rush now for kids to be excelling or doing all these extra things.
Yeah, and I think, like, kids are seeing things on social media, so they want to do all these trick things or whatever. But and so maybe the pressure's on. You know, kids want everything now. You know what it's like. They want to, oh, I've been doing ballet for 3 years. I need point shoes now. Well, you're not ready for that yet. You know, the kids want it because they see it and they think they can do it.
Yeah.
And they don't understand. And, I don't. And I totally agree. You know, we don't kind of push our children. You know, we teach good dance, but we don't push them to be superstars. You know, you'd like them to be a bit less sloppy, or, you know, stretch those feet, at 11 or 12. But, you know, our senior dancers, they're beautiful. It does come. it does come eventually.
Yeah.
But the journey to that, and I guess because we don't do comps, that's probably, you know, a different factor, but we're still doing exams. We still want things to be nice. But I just think, you know, it does come eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And in the meantime, I've retained children from the age of, you know, all the way through to a really big, healthy teenage enrollment.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is testament to that, isn't it? That you're meeting need. And yeah, I think there's some really great takeaways from your experience, Nat. And I love that you've shared that with us today. How can people find you? Because obviously there's a few different things that people might want to hear more about and get some more information on. How can they?
For sure. Well, there's a few places to find me. I've got a website called NatalieYates.com. That's just kind of getting up and going. There's a few things on there. And you can message me. You can find me on Facebook. And you'll find me on Instagram and Facebook under NY Dance Ipswich, I think, and Little Dance Stars. Like, I'm kind of all over. Lots of bits and pieces. But Facebook's an easy way. I'm trying to get into Instagram. I'm working on my reels and things. But, yeah, Facebook's probably the easiest place to find me.
Amazing. Well, that's definitely where you and I can.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, I love everything that you're about, Nat. You're doing amazing things up in those sheds. I was, like, giggling as you were going, oh, I just got another shed. I'm like, is that? Can you get any more Aussie?
Just back in the shed. I try and say the studio. My husband's like, "Are you over at the shed? Are you
the shed?" Oh my god! Funny story. I took my daughter. They were, I don't know, 11 or 12. We went to the Oz Ballet and we were out the front of, you know, the Arts Centre in Melbourne. And there's, you know, I was taking a picture of them doing an arabesque. So it was all, you know, and there was this lady, she was so prim and proper. She was like, oh, lovely girls. And she said, and where do you dance? And my daughter goes, oh, just out the back in a, like a factory behind Bunnings.
I love it.
God, could you not just say the name of the school? Like, a factory behind Bunnings, she said. I'm like, oh dear.
Anyway. Children, they're just honest.
Yes, she was being very honest, and we do enjoy our snags at Bunnings on a Saturday, so fair enough. Fair enough, I say. Well, thank you so much for your time, Nat. I've absolutely loved our chat, and I really encourage people to reach out to you if they want to hear more about Little Stars or the Dancers Warehouse and whatnot. You're doing amazing things, and I have no doubt that you will continue to do amazing things. Thank you for all that you do. And
thank you. It's been lovely chatting.
Yeah, it's been great chatting. Thanks again, Nat.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Transformative Dance Podcast. If you enjoyed the episode, be sure to subscribe and leave a review and share it with our dance community. You can find us on Instagram at transformative.dance for updates, behind the scenes content, and more inspiring stories from the dance world. Remember, dance has the power to transform lives, not just through movement, but through the connections, stories, and growth that it brings to us all. Until next time, keep dancing, keep growing, and keep embracing the transformative power of dance.